Amen.
I'm just going to read from Acts chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. And we're going to continue in our series in preparation for the mission that's coming, where we're looking at our basic beliefs. Basic beliefs about creation, where we come from, about sin, about prayer, about the Bible. And now we're looking at power for living. Power for living. We looked at baptism last week. And power for living, of course, is talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, says these words. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said to them, the times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority. It is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be filled with power. And you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. May God bless His word to us. Hallelujah. How many folks love God, the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is so key to our very existence as Christians, because it's He who regenerates us, gives us the new birth, and much, much more, which we'll see. But I love the Holy Spirit in the sense that when you're full of the Holy Spirit, what seems impossible becomes possible. Coincidences happen or seem to happen, which are actually God instances, not coincidences, because the Holy Spirit is leading, is directing. And I think of the most exciting times in my Christian experience, and it's been when I've been full of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you're just energized, you're right there with the Lord. You can actually hear His voice in the sense of you know the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You can feel Him in your heart, or you can hear, not necessarily an audible voice, although sometimes it may happen. But you just know God has said, and you do. And when you do, things happen. Things happen. And so the Holy Spirit is so important. And we're just going to look at a number of things in this particular passage. And if you have your notes with you, you can follow through on this one a little bit. I want to say six things. One, the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Now, if you look at the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, you recognize how vital and important He was in the life of Jesus. Firstly, at His birth, we read in Luke 1:34, Mary said to the angel, I am a virgin. How then can this be? The angel having told her that she will be giving birth. How can this be? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and God's power will rest upon you. And for this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. In other words, the life of Jesus began with a miraculous birth. It wasn't through any seed of man, the seed of Adam being sinful. It was by an act of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, a miraculous birth. Secondly, at His baptism, which we sort of looked at a little bit last week, Luke 3:21, after all the people had been baptized, Jesus also was baptized, and while He was praying, heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit came down upon Him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my dear Son, I am pleased with you. At His baptism, Holy Spirit came down. And from there, the Holy Spirit initiated the ministry of Jesus. We see that in Luke 4:14, Because from that moment, things began to happen. It says there, Luke 4, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. What does that actually mean? Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Does it mean that he was running at 100 miles an hour? Does it mean that he was so energized that he was skipping? There was something odd about him coming down the road? No. It doesn't mean his gait necessarily. But what it means was that he was in touch totally with the Father. Full of the Holy Spirit is when you are really in touch with God the Father and his plans and purposes. And it says here, having been the Holy Spirit coming upon him visibly, he returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." When he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so he declares what the Holy Spirit was going to be doing in him, through him. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news, to bring freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free, proclaim the year of God's favor." And those five things he did. He went on to do in his ministry. And he didn't do it in his own strength. He could have done, because Jesus is God. But he didn't. He did it in the power of the Holy Spirit, as his followers would have to do. In other words, as we will have to do. He did it first. Isn't that encouraging? Friends, it is possible to move in the realm of the Holy Spirit. The miraculous, the anointing, the words of insight, the words of knowledge, all the gifts that we get are from the Holy Spirit. And you know as well as I do, you can talk to someone till you're blue in the face, but when you get a word from God for a person, and you just say that word, chains fall off. Whereas you've been at it for months with your own wisdom, when the Holy Spirit gives you unction, bang! Revelation happens. I remember a guy came to see me, and he was demon possessed, and I prayed for him to be released, and he laughed at me and mocked me, and you know, I was sort of taken aback, because normally you don't need to do that. But on this occasion it happened. And suddenly within me, the anger of the Lord came upon me. That's all I can put it. And so my normal mild manner disappeared. And I said, "In the name of Jesus!" And I meant it. Boof. Gone. And it just took that moment of being energized by the Holy Spirit to get a breakthrough. Because we can seek to do things in our own strength. But when the Holy Spirit comes, takes control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember the story? I'll tell you it again. About that dog. I remember my sister hadn't been a Christian too long. This is when she was back when she was late teens, and she was walking down the road with a friend, and suddenly a mastiff hound came lopping down the road. Who knows what a mastiff is? Yeah, so if you think of a Great Dane, think of the Great Dane, and a mastiff's bigger, right? And its head alone is this big, right? It's this big. And it came out of a garden gate, and it started coming down, and it was going, roof, 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 coming towards them. And Hillary was absolutely petrified. She was began to scream. They didn't know where to turn. It was coming down towards them. And her friend, they didn't have anywhere to turn. She just said, "In the name of Jesus!" And the dog ran away, tail between its legs. Tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he takes you beyond yourself into the realm of the Spirit, and all things become possible. All things become possible. And Jesus set the example. He didn't do anything in his own strength. In his ministry, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit to set us the example. Fourthly, from the beginning to the end, Jesus' life was lived in the power of the Spirit. It says in Luke 4:1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he was empowered by the Spirit when it came to doing stuff, miraculous deliverance, but he was also led by the Spirit. He heard the voice of God, the Father. And he sought to follow it. You look at him, he said time and time again, he would say, "I do nothing of my own. It's all by the Father." He was to do the will of the Father. He was following the Father's plan. How was that communicated? Through the Holy Spirit, who led him as he can lead us. Praise God. As he can lead us. So the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Now, if he needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? Amen? Secondly, his promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, he knew that he was going to go back to heaven. He knew that he had to go back to heaven. Because as a man, he was limited. One place at one time. The Holy Spirit is Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit can actually live in us, bring the presence of Jesus into our very lives. Not only for me, but for you and for all who put their trust in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit can live in us. And so it was an essential part of the plan of God that Jesus, having wrought the plan of salvation, accomplished it through the cross, rose from the dead, he would now leave, having done something that only he could do. And he says, and he promises this. He promises this. John 14:15. "If you love me, keep my command. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or comforter to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth." And he promises to send the Holy Spirit, because we would need him. And when we call upon Jesus through the Spirit, he's right there with us. He's right there with us, in us. In the Greek, a counselor or advocate is one who draws alongside to help, such as a defense lawyer, for example. The Holy Spirit is on our side. Amen? He is actually on our side. He's on your side. So why not call upon the one who is able to give you what you need in your time of need? When he said it was better for him to go away, he really meant it, because the Holy Spirit could then be released to live in the life of every believer. So, we see the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. We see his promise of the Holy Spirit to those who would follow him. Thirdly, we see that the Holy Spirit is a person. And here it probably is one of the tricky things to really fully appreciate and understand, because he is spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Greek is dunamos, which we translate dynamite. Now that doesn't sound like a person. It doesn't sound like a person. And we could easily start to talk about the Holy Spirit as it, or a force, or something abstract. That is not the case. The scripture makes it very clear that that is not the case. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He is a person. A person who we can talk to, who we can share with, who in turn can share with us the heart of God, the Father. We won't go into all these scriptures in terms of looking at them, but if you were to look at Luke 12, verse 11, you find that the Holy Spirit teaches us. Acts 16, verse 6, he guides us. Acts 20, verse 23, he warns us of danger. Romans 8, verse 26, he prays, intercedes for us. That's a person. It's not a force interceding for us. It's a person. He knows, 1 Corinthians 2:10, he knows the deep things of God. Scripture actually tells us that we have the mind of Christ. And that's what makes us different from those who don't believe, are one of the things that makes us different. Because we can live in this world and we can be surrounded by a lot of wise people. People call them experts. We're getting experts all the time on TV. Experts telling us that this food is no good for us. And then 2 years later saying, actually, it is good for you, eat it. They're experts. Yeah? And we can be intimidated by experts who seemingly know more than we do. But friends, we have the mind of Christ. They do not have the mind of Christ. And with the mind of Christ comes an opening of the whole and entire spiritual realm. A realm that someone who doesn't even know about. So when you say, I follow Jesus, they say, oh, come on. You don't believe in that. It's fairy tale stuff. God doesn't even say, God, if you're there, strike me. And they mock and they make shame of you. Because they are blind to, they haven't got an understanding of the spiritual realm. You do! And so you are in a better place, because not only do you live in the world, the scripture tells us, you're not of the world, because you also, and you understand the world, but you also have the Spirit of God in you, the mind of Christ, so you understand spiritual things. You know more than they do, is what I'm saying. The Spirit knows the deep things of God, and that's why he can share with us words of knowledge, words of insight. He can give these things to us, but only if we're in the place where we're listening to him and being open to be prompted. What does the Jeremiah tell us? Ezekiel, he promised that the people of Israel, that God would remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Don't have a hard heart. If you have a hard heart, God just bounces off it. And you just carry on doing what you're doing. But when your heart is soft, a heart of flesh, it means you're responsive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. He knows the deep things of God. He makes decisions, 1 Corinthians 12. Acts 13, 2 tells us he speaks. John 14, 26, he teaches. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, he fellowships with us. But he also tells us that as a person, he can be grieved. Unwholesome talk, bad attitude, disobedience to the plan of God. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. He is a person. And the last thing we want to do is grieve the Holy Spirit. Because then we're cut off from hearing from him. He can be resisted. Acts 7 verse 51. He can be lied to, as in Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. He can be quenched. It happens here sometimes. If we, you know, we're in the midst of worship and praise, and the Spirit is going in this direction, And then someone who's not in the Spirit might start a chorus up in that direction. Or might give a word in that direction. We think, there's a jarring here. It's not quite in the direction the Holy Spirit is taking us. And then the service goes, it goes flat. Because the Holy Spirit has been quenched. So be careful. He was vital to the early church. He's still vital to us today. Amen. Fourthly, we see the Holy Spirit in the early church. So Jesus instructed his first disciples that he was going back to heaven. They should wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit that he would send them. He then tells them that they will be witnesses by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see this in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through to verse 8. He makes that promise, and when the Holy Spirit would come upon you, you'll be baptized and you will have power to be my witnesses. The book of Acts, when you read it, it presents a dynamic church. A dunamos church, a church that's filled with the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of the Holy Spirit's presence, incredible things start to happen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. I was going to say, sorry, I've lost my page, but sorry, I've lost my digital. Yeah, I've lost my digital, but we're getting there. Right. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's arcade around the temple. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them, can we say that together? All of them were healed. Wow! Now it's true to say, Acts, when we read the Bible, it's intensified. We're time scale wise and the stuff we hear, it seems like everything's happening all the time, every time. But obviously it's not, it's intensified. There is normal life that's going on in between. But nevertheless, the church definitely was energized by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, there was miracles of healing. There was miracles of deliverance. There was people coming to know Jesus. The church was growing. Amen. And it formed the foundation for the church of today. We also see in other verses, Peter, the one whose shadow they were, just let Peter's shadow fall over us and we will be healed. Peter, chapter 4, verse 8, filled with the Spirit. Stephen, chapter 7, verse 55, filled with the Spirit. So that when it came to giving his life for Jesus, which he did, he was the first martyr. Even then, he was able to die with a smile on his face because he was filled with the Spirit of God and he had a vision of heaven opening and of Jesus standing and cheering him on for giving the ultimate in serving, laying down your life. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, son of encouragement, filled with the Holy Spirit. chapter 11, verse 22. Paul, who we're so thankful for so much of the New Testament teaching and church life teaching, as well as life living. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's the one who tells in Ephesians that we need to be filled with the Spirit. And then tells us in Acts 4, 31 and Acts 2, 4, they were all, repeat after me, all filled with the Holy Spirit. This was the Holy Spirit in the early church. Fifthly, the times have not changed. The times have not changed. God has not changed. To do God's work, the Holy Spirit was sent to his followers, and we are his followers. And so God has sent his Holy Spirit to us. We also need to be filled with the Spirit. We should be the most enthusiastic people on the face of the earth. Enthusiastic for Jesus. Now, I am a Leeds United supporter, and I'm enthusiastic for Leeds United. But it should be nothing as compared to my enthusiasm for Jesus. You are maybe skilled at work, you may be skilled at making money, you may have a great business head, you may have degrees, you may be skilled at that, and you may be brilliant at all that kind of stuff, and it makes you tick. But the enthusiasm that you have for that should be nothing as compared to the enthusiasm you have for Jesus. It's got to come second, or else the other stuff will drown out the Spirit. Times have not changed. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And we're not just talking about one or two, we're talking about all of us. All of us. It's just the same now as it was then. Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the tense is, be being filled. In other words, it's not just a one-off experience, but it should be an experience that you're seeking daily. That's why it's important to have the quiet time. That's why it's important to get focused. And that's such a key word. It's a word that I struggle with. We lose focus of Jesus. And our quiet times, our times to reading the Bible, our times of praying, help us to get focused, to drown out the stuff of the world that gets thrown at us 24/7, and actually hear from God. Actually commune with God. That's why it's important. Or else we have no hope of being filled with the Spirit and filled with a passion, enthusiasm and desire that is necessary to do the work of God. So finally, how are we filled with the Spirit? Firstly, and I want you to take this, because you know some of you are thinking, you know, I've been seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not happened to me, and here we go again. Please, don't even think that. Don't even think that. Just listen to what the Word of God says. How to be filled with the Spirit. First, obey. Acts 5:32. We are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. The moment that you received Jesus, it was an act of the Holy Spirit. He comes and makes His home in your life. So the Holy Spirit is in you. It was an act of obedience to give your life to Jesus. Carry on obeying. Carry on with Jesus. And He will give you His Holy Spirit in greater measure. Don't think of the Holy Spirit now as coming down upon you, because the Holy Spirit is in you. What He wants to do is fill you like a cup, a vessel, so that you're full of Him. So that when you're up against a wall, Jesus oozes out. Secondly, thirst. John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to the time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified, not yet gone back to heaven. Thirst. When someone is thirsty, they seek out drink. If you want the Holy Spirit in greater measure, you seek him out. You don't sit back and say, well, so Fred, Frida, it's okay for them, but if you're not thirsty, you will not receive. Thirdly, ask God. Luke 11, verse 11, which of your fathers, if your son asks him for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask. Ask God. Lord, fill me. I need you. I'm thirsty for you. Finally, believe. Believe. Believe and receive. Galatians 3:14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Receive. I'm going to ask the band to come back. Just have that song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here, that one. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Matthew 21, verse 22. If you believe, you will receive. Hallelujah. So, what am I saying? It's when we are relaxed in the presence of God that we can receive. It's not about being tense and I will receive. It's not about that. I remember I was like that as a young person in the youth group in Leeds. I was seeing all my mates that were being baptized. They were speaking with tongues. They were prophesying, and nothing was happening for me. And I was getting all, what's happening? I was going home. I cried at my bedside. I certainly was thirsting. I certainly wanted him. Nothing happened. But then I just went into a worship service. I'd actually forgotten. I'd been seeking for a few months and getting really down. And then I actually just went into a service. And the first part of the service was absolute rubbish. It was a gathering in Sheffield Town Hall, and I don't know what they were doing in the first half, but it was poor. Second half started, and they just started to worship. And I was down a few rows. There was a gap, then there was the aisle, and then there was another gap, and then there was an old lady. And they just started worshiping. And as soon as I started worshiping, I just began to praise God. Next thing I know, I felt a hand hold my hand and lift it up. And so, being a good Christian, I opened one eye. I opened one eye to have a look, and it was this old lady. She'd come across the aisle, and she lifted my hand, and I just closed my eye. Next thing I knew, Shaka Barambas, I was saying these words I'd never said before, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't even thinking about it. I wasn't even feeling any. I was just worshipping the Lord. I was relaxed in his presence, and I just wanted him. Got on the coach, because it was people coming from coaches all over. Sat by the window. It was raining. So the coach had steamed up. So I rubbed the window. Looked out the window, and on town hall steps at Sheffield, in Sheffield, there was this old woman. She was there. And she just went, and I just went, and off we went. Never seen her again. Could well have been an angel. I don't know. But she helped me. And I'd just like us to finish by singing this song. We're not going to spend hours. We're just going to stand and we're going to sing this song with all of our hearts. A heart that is willing to obey if God speaks. A heart that is thirsty for God. I don't care what's happened in your life before. I don't care if you're right there with God or you're a disaster spiritually. Today's a day for change. Just worship Him. Ask Him, Lord, I just want everything of You. And when the Holy Spirit begins to prompt you, just say yes. And if that's to open your mouth and just begin to speak with a new language, open your mouth and speak with a new language. It's no big deal. Just allow the Spirit of God just to do His work. But worship with all your soul.